We're in the middle of Torah Nun Dalet in Chelek Aleph of Likut Imran, in the middle of paragraph Gimel, where Rabbein Azal says the word V'Torah Hu Bechinas Istapkus.
Torah is the big word over there.
Exactly. In our Likut Imran, it's page 142, left-hand column, a little bit more than halfway down the column. We said that this Torah Likut Imran, Rabbein Azal said on a Shabbos Chanukah, and he speaks about a few topics. He started off speaking about the importance of thinking about Olam Haba and realizing that the whole concept of our existence in Olam Hazeh is it's a place where Hashem sends us messages, beremez, beremiza. We said that kavyochel by Hashem, there's the feet of Hashem, which represent the lowest aspect of Hashem's sechel, and then there's the primius, the upper portion. And the pasuk says, v'ho'oretz hadoim ragloi, that this world is the footstool of Hashem, which means that the part of Hashem that's most prominent in this world is the lower part, which represents a certain concept of remozim that Hashem sends to a Jew every single day, b'machshovo, b'dibur, b'maisa, things that a person sees and hears and runs into, that are all hints to bring the person closer to Hashem.
What does it mean, a lower part of Hashem? Does it mean like less influence or...
No. Holiness. In terms of holiness, a lower level, a lower aspect of the Kiddush of Hashem, kavyochol.
He reveals.
Yes.
And there's no levels of Hashem, right?
True.
Perceived levels.
Exactly. So that which is revealed in this world is what we speak about as being kavyochol, the lower level of Hashem.
Which means a perception, right?
Yes.
Lower level of perception.
Now, Rabbein Azal said that one of a person's main jobs in life, in going through the day, is being awake and alert to look at every single thing that happens to you. And look for Hashem, look for these signs and hints that Hashem is showing the person to come close to him. But Rabbein Azal said, even a person who does this and is good at it and might think that therefore I don't have to limit myself and restrict myself to a Beis Medrash or to a shul because I can see Hashem everywhere. So why should... Even such a person, Rabbein Azal says, it's very important for the person to know to be koiveya themselves in Torah and Tefillah. That should be their kviyas. Whereas when it comes to the other stuff, to deal with it with his stopkus, the less the better. Because even though the person's connected to Hashem in those ways, that's considered a lower level of connection to Hashem than the connection that a person makes when they learn Torah or when they daven. Now, in this paragraph Gimel, Rabbein Azal's in the middle of showing us how an ordinary Jew, meaning not the greatest Talmud Chacham, not the greatest Tzaddik, certain things that person does every day accomplish similar accomplishments in Ruchnius to that which Tzaddikim accomplish with their Yichudin. The things that Rabbein Azal touched on here were sleep, putting on tzitzis, tefillin, and Torah, tefillah, and masumatan, business. We addressed some of them so far. We're up to Torah now. Rabbein Azal says, V'Torah hu bechinas ha-histapkus anal. When a Jew studies Torah, that corresponds to what we mentioned earlier, the concept of histapkus, the concept of a person knowing how to limit certain things, make a tzimtzum. Ki ha-toiro hi bechinas etz chayim demozoin l'koil obey. The Torah represents a tree of life which has on it everything that everybody needs. It has on it food. It's one-stop shopping, that kind of concept. So that a person who's connected to the Torah doesn't need two other things or 10 other things. That's enough. Hainu sheyesh l'kol echod dei sipukoi mimena. A person has everything they need from it. In other words, lahavdil, you have cases of Jews who grow up in irreligious homes and they go searching for spirituality and they think that spirituality is in the Himalayas or it's in the trees, in the leaves, and it's in the nature and it's in this. And they little do they know that this Torah that Hashem gave us has in it everything and everything that a person needs, certainly in terms of spirituality, certainly in terms of ruchnius. Nimtza shi bechinas histapkus. So therefore, this is what the Torah does for a person. The act of studying Torah alone develops a person's histapkus, which means it develops a person's ability to make do with less, in a sense. Now, some people think they need five different hats, 10 different suits, 30 different dresses, and then you get a person who's capable of getting as much pleasure and fulfillment out of 2 dresses, or possibly more than somebody else gets out of 10 dresses. Lahavdil, here also, in Ruchnius, Rabbeinu Zal presents here that the Torah gives a person this mitzvah of his stopkus. Because of the fact that it's one-stop shopping, a person sees that you don't need 100 different things to achieve fulfillment.
Oh, it's a whole shopping center.
Excuse me?
Actually, the Torah is a whole shopping center.
Exactly, exactly.
You get whatever you want from it.
That's number one. Number two, v'gam b'limud ha-Torah bi'atzmo yesh b'chinas hestapkus. Then there's a second level of hestapkus in Torah, k'moy shom razal, as the Gemara says, lo yolecho hamalocho ligmor, that even within learning Torah, Hashem says, you don't have to finish the whole thing. What do you mean you don't have to finish the whole thing? Logically, a person would say, like, the more the better. And by Hashem making such a statement that you don't have to finish the whole thing, it implies again that less is okay, or less is sometimes more in certain cases even. This is another example of this midah of hestapkus that's found in the Torah Kedusha. Va'al yidei va'alkein limurat Torah hu b'chinas hestapkus kanal. Va'afilu ha'amoin she'enom yecholim lilmoid hei mekayim esek ha'Torah b'mashe koren kriyashma k'mo yisham razal. And even the most ordinary Jews who aren't capable even of learning Chumash and Rashi, let's say, even they are mekayim the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah by saying Kriya Shema twice a day. That's also an aspect of Limud HaTorah. So Rabbeinu Zal is showing us here, this is one of the main messages that we've stressed, that the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh came to the world to teach. This fact that don't think that it's only those people that are sitting in yeshiva all day learning that are plugged into Hashem, but every yid is plugged into Hashem, and you don't know who's closer and who's further, number one. And especially, in other words, the Baal Shem Tov and the Hasidim, Bechlal, the Tzadikim among the Hasidim, were able to show examples where certain things that these people do correspond to and accomplish the same tikkunim or similar tikkunim as things that the others do who seem to be on much higher levels. Utfila.
Are there such people today, though?
That what?
By Krishna, those people that are able to learn Krishna today, I would think they would be able to learn Chumash Rashi.
No, not at all. Really? Again, there are people who never had any Jewish education when they were young. And they're, you know, 30, you know, they're 50, 60 years old, let's say, where they become religious. And, okay, today there's English Chumashim available, you know, there's all kinds of things available. But certain people who would find themselves, they can't even afford, let's say, to buy those kind of things. And the only thing they learned how to do is they learned how to daven. They don't know the translation of the words, they know how to read Kriya Shema, you know, period. Or women. Certain cases of women who weren't given a major Jewish education, and yet they knew how to do. They know how to daven, or they know how to daven the basics. Utfila hu bechinas choid v'hodor anal, and the davening, the act of tfila, corresponds to what we mentioned earlier in the Torah, the concept of choid v'hodor, the beauty of Hashem. Ki tfila hi chaye sho, because the Gemara refers to tfila as temporary living. Tfila is generally assumed to be in most cases related to gashmius needs. Hainu bechinas v'horetz hadoim ragloi, corresponding to the lower levels, the concept of the earth being the footstool of Hashem. Hainu bechinas ragli hagdusha hamalubosham bozeh ha'olam. It corresponds to the feet of the kedusha that are cloaked in this world. This is again the way when the Gemara presents tefillah and Torah on a certain level or in certain respects, Torah is considered to be much higher than tefillah. Tefillah represents the feet, the malchus, and Torah represents the brain, chokhmah, and those things. Umas umaton, and business, conducting business, ibechinas noite shamayim kayoria, corresponds to what we discussed earlier, the concept of Hashem spreading out the sky, the heaven, like a curtain, like a sheet. Hainu bechinas yichud tzadik ukneses Yisrael kanal. Rabbeinu Zal earlier mentioned the concept of the yichud between the tzaddik and Am Yisrael, or the Shechina. And that's accomplished when Jews do business, which is called in Hebrew, Masa Umaton. Rabbeinu Zal explains now, Ki tzadik u'knesses Yisroel heim b'chinas maso matan. Hatzadik nikro maso. The tzadik is compared to the maso matan in English means like giving and taking, transacting business. But now Rabbeinu Zal explains that the tzaddik is called maso ki hu noiseyes ha'olam kasher yiso ha'oimenes hayoinek, because the tzaddik carries the world like a parent carries a small child. The hu noisei kol habrochos, and the tzaddik is also the one who carries all blessings. Kama shekosuv ubrochos leroish tzaddik, that the brochos belong to the tzaddik. Kama shekosuv yisa brocho me'es Hashem. Note that the word yisa, masa, is used related to brocha, and the word brocha is used related to tzaddik, so that the tzaddikim represent this concept of masa. Vehu noisei hatipo zarius shel kol haneshamos. The tzaddik is the one who carries and nurtures the tipo zera of all the neshamos of Klal Yisrael. He's the one who develops it, because he's the one who's the symbol of Tikkun HaBris. Bebechinas noisei meshech hazora, that the tzaddik is the one who carries and is mamshich the zera. Umashpia la Knesset Yisrael, and is mashpia to the Shechina, which is called Knesset Yisrael. Vehi noisenes lekol hoilam, and the Shechina is the one who distributes to the entire world. This is a concept that's mentioned in the Sfirois. When we talk about the Sfirois, we say poiseach es yodecho umasbia lekol chay rotzon. Kavyochol Hashem opens up His hands and He nourishes all those that need, all those that want. It's the Arizal brings that the first letters of Lechol Chai Rotzoin spell Rochel. Rochel is the symbol of the Shechina, because we have this rule that all the Sfirois feed into the Malchus. They shine their light into the Malchus. Kol Hanecholim Hoilchem El Hayam. And the Malchus is the one that's responsible to distribute Shefa to this world. In other words, Chesed doesn't shine its light into this world directly. It shines and feeds into the Malchus. It's the Malchus that's the one that's responsible to distribute everywhere. Now, right above the Malchus, you have Yesoid. Yesoid, which is the Tzaddik. So that the Tzaddik, in the Zohar Kodesh, the Tzaddik is called the Koilel, and Malchus is called Klolius the Klolius. Yesoid, the sphere of Yesoid, is considered to be a koilel of Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Choid, and Yesoid. Just like it says by Yaakov Avinu, who is called Zeramp, and he's called Teferes, he's called Koil. HaKoil, Koil, Yaakov, and the Zohar Kodesh brings that the word Koil is made up of two parts. It has a Vav, representing the sphere of Yesoid, and Kuf Lamed 130, is five times Yud Kei Vav Kei, representing Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, and Hoid, which the Yesoid is Koilel. Yesoid is the sixth sphere, it's the Vav, which is Koilel, the five above it. So that the Tzaddik represents the first one whom everything funnels into. He's the one who has all of these midos, chesed, gevura, tevera, all of it feeds into the Yesoid, and Yesoid is the one who's mashpia to the Malchus, and Malchus is the one who distributes to the whole world. Just as Lahavdil, when it comes to having children, bringing children into the world, you have a man who's from head to toe, there's 248 organs, and there's sechel, there's strength, there's all kinds of midos, and yet the hashpo comes from one place, the Yesoid. The Yesoid feeds into the Malchus, into the Nukva, and from that is created a child. And again, the child is a reflection of the entire father, from head to toe. You would think he has to give from the hands and from the eyes and from the feet. No. The Yesoid is Kolel everything. And in the Yesoid is Mashpia to the Malchus, and then the Malchus goes ahead and distributes the Shefa.
In terms of the Tzaddik and the Shekhinah, that relationship, how does these concepts translate themselves practically in terms of the Tzaddik? So, how does it translate
themselves? The Mitzvois and Maisim Toivim, in other words, Kaviyocho, Hashem presents Himself as an Oni. Hashem makes Himself like an Oni who needs to be taken care of, who needs to be fed, Who feeds Hashem? The tzaddik. It says, Rabbeinu Zal brings in a term, the Kutimaran, that the korbonos are called Ishei Reach Nichoyach Lashem. Ishei is Miloshen Isha, implying Hashem makes himself like a woman, just as a woman is the one who needs to be taken care of by her husband. Kavyoch Hashem makes himself like a woman needing to be fed by us. We have to bring sacrifices, we got to give him meals, kavyoch. And again, the tzaddik is the one who's in charge of this the most. He's the one who feeds the Shekhinah. Val Shem Zeh Nikras Knesset Yisrael Matan. And it's for this reason, because of the fact that the Shekhinah, the Malchus, is the one which gives out, it distributes to all, to the Klal Yisrael, that's why the Shekhinah is called Matan. Al Shem Vatitain Teref Leveso Vechoiklen Aroiseo. She distributes food and sustenance to her household. It's the mother. Again, the father brings home the paycheck. The mother is the one who takes the paycheck and buys everything that's needed, and she's the one who provides all the food. But really, she's not the one. She's the keli, you know, into which the father is mashpia. The yichud shel tzadik uknesses Yisrael nase al yidei masa umaton. And here again, Rabbi Nizal shows, when a Jew is zoicha to conduct business al pi ha-Torah, where he believes that every penny he earns is coming from Hashem, and he doesn't rip off his boss, he puts in an honest day's work, and he doesn't cheat the customer, he follows all the basic halachos of masa umaton, his masa umaton brings about the yichud of masa, the tzaddik, and matan, Knesset Yisrael, the Shekhinah. Ki kol dovor sheba'oil. Now Rabbi Nizal goes into a very important item upon which the whole Likutei Halachos Choshen Mishpot is based on this next paragraph here, pretty much. Ki kol dovor sheba'oilom yesh boi nitzutzos hagdusha shenoflu b'shas shvira. All items that exist in this world, meaning all gashmius items, whether it be furniture, whether it be computers, whether it be cars, everything that exists has in it sparks of Kedusha that fell into these gashmius items at the time of Shvira Sakelim. When Hashem first created the world and the light was too bright and the Kelim burst and the light splattered, sparks of this light went into everything in the physical world. Ushviro hubechinas oisiois shenishbaru v'noflu l'chol dover v'dover mizoilam. And this breakage where the light splattered, this light that splattered was in the form of letters. It's the oisiois that splattered and went into every single item in the world, be it food, be it anything that's gashmius. V'chol dover yeshloi shoh. And everything has its time. V'tzorich lovoi b'shozu l'odom zeh. And this particular item at this precise day and time has to transfer ownership and go into this person's possession. Shehu mishoyrish echod im oison hanitzutzois sheyesh b'dovor zeh. This person whose neshama is connected to the sparks of Kiddusha or the letters that are found in that particular item, whether it be that particular musical instrument or that bed or that chair or that mirror or that hairbrush, whatever it is. And when the item arrives in the possession of that person whom it's supposed to get to, v'hu mekabel chiyus mizeh hadovor, and he receives some kind of pleasure from that item, some kind of a chiyus from the item. Hainu, meho oisiois hanishborim sheyesham. What does he receive pleasure from? Not from the physical item. What gives that physical item? What gives a fruit its sweetness, its taste? Is it the vitamin C? Baloney. It's the oisiois, it's the sparks of kedusha that are found in that. That's what gives it its sweetness, its bitterness, its strength, its beauty, its height, its width. They don't. They don't make a bracha on it, so they don't unlock it. They don't turn it on. You walk. Excuse me. Physically sweet, but it doesn't bring any nourishment to the neshama. Yes, but that's only like a fraction of what's really supposed to happen. The purpose of eating isn't to feed the body. purpose of eating is to nourish the neshama. The body is like the second-rate citizen that's coming along for the ride in a certain sense, so that's needed to be able to do mitzvahs. But the ikar is the neshama. The ikar is the ruchnius. So now Rabbi Nezal says, when that object comes into the person's possession and he receives some benefit from it, Haino mehoiseh sanishborim shiasham, al yedezeh nichlolin hoiseh sanishborim bozeh hodom. Then these broken letters become merged with that person, the chius shaloi, they become attached to his chius, to his neshama, v'nase mehem koimo shlemo, and a certain tikkun is accomplished. There's a certain shlemus that's built up. U'mispashet b'chius shel kol aguf, and that chius spreads out within the entire body of the person. V'yidezeh nishlomim ho'isyos, and that's how these oisyos that were originally found in that item get a shlemus, they get a tikkun. V'yesh lohem shlemus. V'tzorich lishois hadovor etzol ze hodom. And the object has to remain in that particular person's possession. L'shtamesh boi, for that person to use it. Ad shenefsokin hoisois vanitzutzois hashayoch nishroshoi. Until whatever letters or sparks of Kedusha that were found in that object that are related to that person's neshama, until they get their tikkun, they get their shlemus. Once they get fixed up completely, then there's no purpose anymore to that item being in that person's possession anymore. V'acharkach yoytzei me'rishusoi l'odom acher. And therefore, at that point, the object is transferred to somebody else's possession. The person decides to sell the car. I don't like this car anymore. I want to sell it. What do you mean you don't like this car? How come last year you liked it, now you don't like it? The answer is because in certain cases, it means that whatever tikkun, whatever oisiois, whatever nitzutzois of kedusha that fell into that car that needed a tikkun as a result of this person using the car for so many and so many days to do so many mitzvois with it, take it to shul, take it to the mikveh, take it to the kotel, wherever it is, once that's finished, it has no purpose anymore being in that person's possession.
So that's why you have so many ganavim?
Whoa. First, let's see what Rabbi Nezal has to say. And then it leaves that person's possession and goes into another person's possession. Because now we finished the tikkun of Nitzutzos A through D. Now it comes time to be misakin mitzutzos E through G that are in this item, which Reuven is not the guy that whose neshama is connected to those mitzutzos. It's Shimon whose neshama is most connected to those sparks of kedusha. V'alkein yoytzei l'rishusoi, and that's why at that particular time the object goes into the second person's possession. Ulefamim choizer hadovor ubo lo isayodam shoyesh le'metchila. And now, there's a strange item. There are some times that A gives something to B for a couple of years, and then A wakes up and says, I want it back now. I didn't need it a year ago, I didn't want it to. You had it for 4 years, now suddenly occurred to me that I want it back. Why should that be? It would seem to make sense that once A gave it to B, that implies that A finished his tikkun with that item, and now it's in B's possession so that B should make his tikkun. Rabbi Nezal explains, ki machmas sheloy hoyo loy oz chelkei nefesh ruach and neshama elu, because of the fact that in 1990 Reuven did not have certain parts of his nefesh ruach neshama, therefore the sparks of kedusha in that item F through L had no connection to his neshama because those parts weren't in his neshama yet. But in 1991, when he did certain mitzvahs or accomplished certain things, whereby his neshama got added to it certain parts of Kedusha, now that object, which is seeking a tikkun for its nitzutzos F through L, want to go back to that original person who now has those parts F through L in him, so that when this item will come back into his possession and he'll use it, it'll be mashlim the tikkun of that item.
He has to give it back.
The implication in his having to give it back is that at that point he's done whatever he had to do with it.
Even if he still has a feeling that he still wants it?
The answer is that if you follow the rules of the Torah, all of this is accomplished properly. That's part of the secrets behind some of the laws in the Torah. It's all to accomplish these kinds of tikkunim that we don't even realize are going on while we're using items. A person lends something to somebody. Why did it occur to me to lend this to this and this person? Why didn't it occur to me to lend it to somebody else? The answer is there's a reason, because there's a kesher between certain sparks of kedusha that are found in this item that can only get their tikkun by being in that person's possession. Theft is a different issue. Theft is different. Theft is going against the laws of the Torah.
But that person still taking something, even though it's not allowed, even though the actual taking of it, the way how it's taken is wrong, is there a connection between the item and that person that takes it?
The answer is it depends. In certain cases, not. In certain cases, it's a clear transgression. And in certain cases, it could be min hashamayim, that in a previous Gilgul, the case of Moshe Rabbeinu taking Tzipora from Yisroi, because he had to read Yisroi, who was originally Kayin and took away Hevel's twin sister, now had to return her back. You know, all of these kind of things. So because of the fact that in 1990, the person didn't have those parts in his neshama that were needed to be mashlim the oisis in this object, ad ato, until 1992, where the person rose up in Madrega and received new parts, additional parts to his nefesh ruach neshama, sha'al yodom yochay lahashlim elu hoiseis hanishorim, which give the person the ability to complete the tikkun of the remaining letters, the remaining sparks of kedusha that are found in that object. Ubenkach huchrich lishois etzlacher. And during that intermediate period, the object had to be in the other guy's possession. Ukishemashlim hois yeselu. And when a person accomplishes this, when a person is zoichet to use something properly, a person has a stereo, and they use it to listen to music that'll bring them closer to Hashem, that makes them feel an inspiration to do mitzvahs better, and everything like that, if a person is zoichet to be mashlim, the oisis that are found in the item, nitoisif loy he'oro benefesh ruach neshama shaloi, the tikkun works both ways. He makes a tikkun for the sparks of kedusha that are in the object, and in doing so, that is mashlim his nefesh ruach neshama. Both give to each other. Machmas he'oras oisiyos elu shehigiu elov v'nishlam etzloi. Because of the light that's radiating from these letters that have arrived in this person's possession and received their shlemus through this person's nefesh ruach neshama, he in turn also gets a tikkun. Just like a rabbi who teaches a student, the rabbi himself gets elevated tremendously by teaching, even though supposedly he's giving, and yet that's one of the highest forms of learning, is teaching someone else. Here also, you have this cup that needs a tikkun. Person uses the cup, they make a bracha on a drink in it, so the cup gets a tikkun and the object in it gets a tikkun. And the one who's mesaking it, his neshama gets a certain higher degree of shlemus, because it connected with the nitzutzos that were found in this cup and was mashlim it, and was mashlim itself also by doing so. Valyidei he'orazu meir b'shoiresh nefesh ruach neshamo shaloi. Now, by accomplishing this, the person not only makes a tikkun for himself, but he also makes a tikkun for his origin, the shoirish of his nefesh ruach neshama, shehu betzadik v'knesses Yisrael, which is the tzadik and the shechina, shehem shoroshe kol haneshamois. They represent the origin, the foundation, and the root of all neshamois. So again, as each and every individual neshama is mashlim itself, it also affects a shleimus by the tzadik, by the shechina. Vayidei his noitzetzus hazois nisyached tzadik uknesses Yisrael. And when this happens, when all of these lights get turned on, it affects a yichud between the tzadik and the shechina, hanikroim masa umatan kanal, which are referred to by these names, masa umatan, that we said earlier. Val shem ze nikro mekach umemkar v'chol advorim v'chol alimud masa umatan. This is the reason why business and transactions and learning are called masa umatan. It's called masa umatan shel Torah. When two people engage in a debate in Torah, that's also called masomatan. And when two people transact business, it's called masomatan. Because through all of these items, all of these things affect a yichud between the tzaddik and the shechina, which are called masomatan. This is an incredible concept for a person to be aware of, to know that things that we do, you know, every, you have to leave in a pencil. A person gets a pencil and they use the pencil. They use it for Kiddusha, they use it to do mitzvahs with. That pencil has a chiyus in it. It has sparks of Kiddusha in it that need a shlemus. The shlemus is affected when it's used for Kiddusha. The person, the fact that this pencil is in my possession and it's not in somebody else's possession, implies that it has a connection to my nefesh, ruach, neshama. And when I use it for Kiddusha, I make a tikkun for the pencil. I'm misaken in mashlim, my own nefesh, ruach, neshama, and I affect a tikkun in my shoirish, which is the tzaddik and the shechina, which is the shoirish of all neshamais and all nefoshais and all nitzusis of Kiddusha. Period. This is this section of this Torah in Likutei Maran. Now Rabbein Ezal goes back to what he mentioned earlier, the topic of zikoron the Kiddusha, the topic of a person being required to always think of Olam Haba. When you're in Olam Hazeh, to be thinking in terms of Olam Haba. Ukidei lishmer hazikoron anal, if a Jew wants to protect this ability to remember Olam Haba, to remember the Tachlis, tzorich lishmer es atzmoy shelo yipoy lebechinas ra'ayin. A person has to watch themselves tremendously not to fall into ra'ayin, not to fall into having a bad eye. Lebechinas misas halev, which is a concept of a murdered heart. Ki ikar hazikoroin toile bo'ayin, because the ability to remember what you're supposed to remember your tachlis, that's dependent on the eyes. Bebechinas ulezikoroin beinei necha. But when the Torah discusses tefillin, it says v'hoyelois al yodecha. That zikoroin is dependent and associated with the eyes. Ki hashikcha bo al yedei ra'ayin. Because the concept of a person forgetting that which they're really supposed to remember is caused by ra'ayin, al yedei misa salev. Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, nishkachti kameis milev. I was forgotten like a dead person is forgotten from a person's heart. Rabbein Ezal teaches this, that the shikha is based on the misas halev, which is synonymous with ra'ayin. Ki ra'ayin u misas halev hem bechinas achas. Because these two, a bare eye and a dead heart, are one and the same. Ki shuraino de'eno belibotalia. Because the Gemara says that the vision of the eye is dependent on the heart. V'alkein novel shohoyo ra'ayin, novel, who was one who had a bare eye, when Dovid HaMelech and his army needed food, and they went to beg novel for food, and novel told him to go fly a kite. He wasn't going to give him anything, because he had this ra'ayin, this unwillingness to share his wealth. Ne'mar boy, the Pasuk says about him, v'yomos liboy bekir boy, his heart died inside of him. Misa salev. The concept of a dead heart is synonymous with broken tablets, the luchos that were broken. Why? Because lev hu bechinas luchos, the heart of a person is compared to tablets. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, kosvom al luach libecho, inscribe the words of the Torah on the tablets of your heart. Veshikcha. And we know that how did forgetfulness come to the world when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos? Kemaymar Chazal, as the Gemara says in Eruvin, il mole lo nishtabru luchos harishonos lo shikcha boilam. Were it not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu broke the first luchos, there would never have been forgetfulness in the world. Because what happened was when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchos, the letters floated up to heaven. Just like when a person learns something, originally the letters are inscribed in their brain or on the tablets of their heart. When they forget it, it means the letters float up to heaven. The tablets are still there, the heart's still there, it's just the letters got erased.
But I don't
When did this take place? The breaking of the luchos.
After they go.
Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. That's why Rabbeinu Zal brings in a chapter on Likutei Moharan that the word, there's a pasuk in Tehillim where it says Zichru Toiras Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. The first letters of Zichru Toiras Moshe spell the word Tammuz minus the Vav. The Vav is missing because the Vav is the Luchos. The tablets, the Gemara says, were 6x6. The broken Luchos, which happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, that's the main tikkun that we're trying to affect on Tammuz. A tikkun for this Zechira. So now, Rabbi Nizal says, Nimtza, She'ikar HaShikha Hi Al Yidei Ra'ayin Shul Bechinas Misa Salev. So therefore, we see that Zikoroin and Shikha are tied into the eyes and the heart. This concept of Ra'ayin and Misa Salev is what leads to Shikha. Note the word Shikha is the Oisyos HaChoshech, which is the opposite of the eyes. Gura is ayin toiv, means you can see, there's light. Or ayin ayin. Shikha means that the light of the eyes is spoiled. Shehi bechinas shivrei luchos, this bare eye and this dead heart corresponds to the broken tablets. Shemishom ikar hashikha kanal. That's where this concept of forgetfulness was introduced to the world. The Avsholoim, now Rabbi Nizal says, Avsholoim, the son of Dovid HaMelech, the one who led a rebellion against his father. Avsholoim, Shehoyo Enoi Ra, but Ro'o, B'malchus Aviv. Avsholoim was, what is this Ra'ayin? Ra'ayin means jealousy, where a person's jealous of someone else, or they can't take somebody else having it good. Bechlal. So Avsholoim, who was jealous of his father's kingdom, Al Yidei Zeh Nemar Boi Misa Salev. That's why, again, the Torah uses this particular expression when it talks about his death. What does it say? Shenemar Vayikach Shloisha Shvotim, that Yoav took 3 spears, Vayitkoim Belev Avsholoim, and he stabbed Avsholoim through the heart. Why does the Torah have to give us all the gory details? This isn't a Steven Spielberg presentation. Could have just said he killed him and finished. The Torah says Vaitkoim Baliboy to show us that Hashem punishes Mido Keneged Mido. Avsholoim's Pigam was Ra'ayin, which is Misa Salev. Therefore his death had to be Misa Salev, literally, through the heart. V'alkein lohiniach ben Zohar. And this is why we find that Avsholoim never had any boy children, any male children. Ki pogam bezikoroin, because he was poigame in zikoroin, loshen Zohar. Al yidei ra'ayin kanal, because he had ra'ayin, he was poigame in zikoroin, which reflects itself in bonim zchorim. Excuse me? Not sure. V'dover HaMelech, I'm sorry. V'dover HaMelech Olav HaSholoim Borach Oz Mimalchusoy Mepnei Avsholoim. And Dover HaMelech at that time was forced to flee, to actually flee his kingdom because of Avsholoim. V'kileil Oysoy Shimi Ben Gera. And one of the people at that time, Shimi Ben Gera, when Dover HaMelech was in exile, when he was on the run, this Shimi Ben Gera saw him and he cursed him. He cursed him a whole long curses. V'omar, and Dovid HaMelech said, Ulai Yireh Hashem Be'onyi. I hope Hashem is going to see my poverty. And one second. Tezayin. I remember that the Gemara makes a play on words and I don't remember which one is written and which one is the Gemara. Just a second. I believe the word that's written there is Ulai Yireh Hashem Be'enai, and there's a play on words over there. Rashi in the Gemara over there brings that it's a combination of my suffering. The word Onyi Einai there means my suffering, and it also refers to my eye. Be'enai Daiko, Rabbi Nizal says, Ki mi sheroye shenoyfe l'ra'ayin, because if a person sees that he's falling into this concept of ra'ayin, im enoy margish bi'atzmoy shiyucho la'amoyd bozeli notzl mimenu, if he doesn't feel that he's going to be victorious in defeating this ra'ayin, in other words, somebody who sees that somebody else is jealous of them, and the other one's going after them, and they don't feel that they're going to be able to stand up to that other person necessarily, tzorich livroyach mimenu. The person has to run away from the other person. Aval mi sheyochoy lesaken, but one who feels strong enough that they can make a tikkun for the ra'ayin, azay tzorich lesaken, then the person has to make a tikkun for it. V'tzorich lirois mohus b'chinas ra'ayin, the person has to be able to study and observe the nature of this ra'ayin, kidei leida hashoyresh shetzorich lesaken al yodoy, in order to be able to know what tikkun he needs to make in order to fix this ra'ayin. Ki yesh kamo b'chinois ra'ayin, because there are many different types of ra'ayin. U'kishenoifel ra'ayin shel hisnasus, when a person falls into the ra'ayin of hisnasus, meaning she'enoi tzoro b'hisnasus shel chaveroi, the person feels jealous about the fact that his friend got elevated, got a higher position, or got wealthier, or any kind of hisnasus, tzorich lahachnia b'hashoyresh shel hisnasus. Then in order to fix that, the person has to be able to effect a tikkun in the shoyresh of hisnasus, which hainu b'shoyresh hamalchus, which means in the shoyresh of malchus. Malchus means leadership, kingdom. In other words, if a person sees that somebody is that they're jealous of somebody else's leadership, then the implication is that they have to make a tikkun for the malchus. Malchus is leadership. Shehu b'chinas Moshiach, v'hu shoyresh hamalchus. Moshiach represents the shoyresh of malchus. Be'bechinas vayitein oiz lemolchoi vayorem keren meshichoi. The pasuk says Hashem will give strength to his kingdom and he'll elevate the glory of Moshiach. So we see that Moshiach represents the malchus of Hashem. V'hu bechinas toivayin, and Moshiach is the symbol of toivayin. Be'bechinas yefei einayim v'toiv roi. It says that when they looked at Dovra HaMelech, they saw that Dovra HaMelech had a reddish complexion with beautiful eyes. Beautiful eyes, this concept of toivayin. Be'bechinas yefei einayim v'toiv roi. Hanemar b'dovid shehu Moshiach, which is written about Dovra HaMelech, who is Moshiach. So again, Dovra HaMelech was being chased. Dovra HaMelech dealt with two examples of Ra'ayin, Shimi ben Gera and Avshalom. And when Shimi ben Gera cursed him, he said, Ulai yireh Hashem beinai. Maybe I'll be zeichet to draw the Re'iyah of Hashem, the Toivayin, into this Ra'ayin. In other words, when a person feels that they're being attacked by Ra'ayin, they have one of two choices. If they're strong enough, they have to be able to try to defeat the Ra'ayin and be misaking the Ra'ayin. If not, they have to run away from the Ra'ayin. When it came to Avshalom, Dovra HaMelech understood that he had to run away. Period. At that time he had to run away because the Ra'ayin was too strong in a sense. Whereas when a person sees that they themselves are being afflicted by this Ra'ayin, Rabbi Nizal says the person has to study the Shoyrish of the Ra'ayin and try to make a tikkun over there. For example, he gives the example of Ra'ayin of Isnasus, it means the person has to make a tikkun for Malchus.
Say that it's an affair, says two times it's an affair of the Ra'ayin. And I don't know, it seems to me, the first time seems to imply that actually it's not like somebody has a Ra'ayin on him, it's like he's suffering from a bad attitude, you know, being jealous of somebody else.
No. Look at it. In the first case, where it says, V'kile lo yisoy shimi min geira, v'omar ulai yira Hashem be'enai. Be'enai daiko. Ki mi sheroya shenoifel ra'ayin, the person who sees that they're falling into ra'ayin, and in this case it means somebody else's ra'ayin, as you'll see in a second. Im enoy margish bi'atzmoy shiyuchal lamoid boze lehinotzel mimenu, if the person doesn't feel strong enough that they're going to be able to withstand the bullets of that ra'ayin, tzorech levroyach mimenu, then he's got to run away from it. The way Dovid HaMelech ran away from Avshalom. Whereas in the case of Shimi ben Gera, he didn't run. He said a special tefillah to Hashem, Ulai yir Hashem beinai. That's number one. That's when it's coming from the outside. Now Rabbi Nizal says, then he says, Umi shenoifel ra'ayin, if a person himself falls into the bechina of ra'ayin, where a person feels themselves getting jealous, then the person has to look to see the shoyrish of the ra'ayin and affect the tikkun for that.
We see here where it says, compares it to the first halachas which were broken. But we also know that as far as first halachas that were broken, that Hashem Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu for breaking them, shkreya.
That there was an aspect of good that came from it. Just like Rabbi Nazal says that shikha has a very good side to it. Because there are certain things in life which if you couldn't forget them, you could never get on with your life. If a person couldn't forget the fact that they committed a sin, if that were in front of their eyes at all times in a certain negative way, the person could never get on with doing mitzvahs. You have to be able to forget and let go in order to be able to move on. Here it's misas halev, which refers to der ha. It's not, in other words, there's different levels of it. That's what it is. There's a broken heart that's a high level of kedusha. Here it's talking about a breaking of a heart in a negative sense, that results in forgetting, and it results in, you know.
That'd be a depression.
Probably.
The question is, sometimes, especially amongst the party, they have a whole lot of things where there's like fish in the car and open hands and little red strings.
Protections things, from Ra'ayin.
Do they really work?
The answer is, this topic is a topic in the Torah. It's not something the Sfardim invented. The Gemara in Baba Basra. The Gemara in Baba Basra talks about Ayin Hara, and it talks about fish as being the symbol of Torah. The red string, I don't know anything about, number one. Number two, the fact that a person gives an ayin hara to somebody else, that it'll come back to them, chas v'shalom, that's true. Those kind of things do happen. One has nothing to do with the other. There are certain things that serve as a protection from ayin hara. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that if the first child that's born in the family is a girl, then all children in the family have an automatic protection from ayin hara. And the Zohar Kodesh says the same thing. The Zohar Kodesh proves it from the first pasuk in the Chumash. Bereshis bara Elohim. Bereshis bara Elohim. The Zohar Kodesh says in the Sefer Torah, the base of Bereshis is written large. And it's written as an entity unto itself, as the word bat. Bat, Reshis, bara Elohim. If the daughter comes first, then the sons that come afterwards will be heavenly, will have a heavenly protection. That's what the Zohar Kodesh says. And the Gemara mentions it also. So some of this stuff is very clearly written in the Torah, and it's Emes Sheba, you know, it's Emes Lamito, it's the word of Hashem. We'll hold it over here for now.